Augmenting Human Intellect, A Conceptual Framework by Douglas Engelbart, October 1962. Section 2, Conceptual Framework. The conceptual framework we seek must orient us toward the real possibilities and problems associated with using modern technology to give direct aid to an individual in comprehending complex situations, isolating the significant factors, and solving problems. To gain this orientation, we examine how individuals achieve their present level of effectiveness and expect that this examination will reveal possibilities for improvement. The entire effect of an individual on the world stems essentially from what he can transmit to the world through his limited motor channels. This, in turn, is based on information received from the outside world through limited sensory channels, on information, drives, and needs generated within him, and on his processing of that information. His processing is of two kinds: that which he is generally conscious of, recognizing patterns, remembering, visualizing, abstracting, deducing, inducing, etc., and that involving the unconscious processing and mediating of received and self-generated information, and the unconscious mediating of conscious processing itself. The individual does not use this information and this processing to grapple directly with the sort of complex situation in which we seek to give him help. He uses his innate capabilities in a rather more indirect fashion, since the situation is generally too complex to yield directly to his motor actions, and always too complex to yield comprehensions and solutions from direct sensory inspection and use of basic cognitive capabilities. For example, an Aborigine who possesses all of our basic sensory mental motor capabilities, but does not possess our background of indirect knowledge and procedure, cannot organize the proper direct actions necessary to drive a car through traffic, request a book from the library, call a committee meeting to discuss a tentative plan, call someone on the telephone, or compose a letter on the typewriter. Our culture has evolved means for us to organize the little things we can do with our basic capabilities so that we can derive comprehension from truly complex situations and accomplish the processes of deriving and implementing problem solutions. The ways in which human capabilities are thus extended are here called augmentation means, and we define four basic classes of them. 1. Artifacts, physical objects designed to provide for human comfort, for the manipulation of things or materials, and for the manipulation of symbols. 2. Language, the way in which the individual parcels out the picture of his world into the concepts that his mind uses to model that world, and the symbols that he attaches to those concepts and uses in consciously manipulating the concepts, thinking. 3. Methodology, the methods, procedures, strategies, etc., with which an individual organizes his goal-centered problem-solving activity. 4. Training, the conditioning needed by the human being to bring his skills in using means 1, 2, and 3 to the point where they are operationally effective. The system we want to improve can thus be visualized as a trained human being together with his artifacts, language, and methodology. The explicit new system we contemplate will involve as artifacts computers and computer-controlled information storage, information handling, and information displaying devices. The aspects of the conceptual framework that are discussed here are primarily those relating to the human being's ability to make significant use of such equipment in an integrated system. Pervading all of the augmentation means is a particular structure or organization. While an untrained Aborigine cannot drive a car through traffic because he cannot leap the gap between his cultural background and the kind of world that contains cars and traffic, it is possible to move step by step through an organized training program that will enable him to drive effectively and safely. In other words, the human mind neither learns nor acts by large leaps, but by steps, organized or structured, so that each one depends upon previous steps. Although the size of the step a human being can take in comprehension, innovation, or execution is small in comparison to the overall size of the step needed to solve a complex problem, human beings nevertheless do solve complex problems. It is the augmentation means that serve to break down a large problem in such a way that the human being can walk through it with his little steps. And it is the structure or organization of these little steps or actions that we discuss as process hierarchies. Every process of thought or action is made up of sub-processes. Let us consider such examples as making a pencil stroke, writing a letter of the alphabet, or making a plan. Quite a few discrete muscle movements are organized into the making of a pencil stroke. Similarly, making particular pencil strokes and making a plan for a letter are complex processes in themselves that become sub-processes to the overall writing of an alphabetic character. Although every sub-process is a process in its own right, in that it consists of further sub-processes, there seems to be no point here in looking for the ultimate bottom of the process hierarchical structure. There seems to be no way of telling whether or not the apparent bottoms, processes that cannot be further subdivided, exist in the physical world or in the limitations of human understanding. In any case, it is not necessary to begin from the bottom in discussing particular process hierarchies. No person uses a process that is completely unique every time he tackles something new. Instead, he begins from a group of basic sensory, mental, motor process capabilities and adds to these certain of the process capabilities of his artifacts. There are only a finite number of such basic human and artifact capabilities from which to draw. Furthermore, even quite different higher-order processes may have in common relatively high-order sub-processes. When a man writes prose text, a reasonably high-order process, he makes use of many processes as sub-processes that are common to other high-order processes. For example, he makes use of planning, composing, dictating. The process of writing is utilized as a sub-process within many different processes of a still higher order, such as organizing a committee, changing a policy, and so on. What happens then is that each individual develops a certain repertoire of process capabilities from which he selects and adapts those that will compose the processes that he executes. This repertoire is like a toolkit, and just as the mechanic must know what his tools can do and how to use them, so the intellectual worker must know the capabilities of his tools and have good methods, strategies, and rules of thumb for making use of them. All of the process capabilities in the individual's repertoire rest ultimately upon basic capabilities within him or his artifacts, and the entire repertoire represents an internet hierarchical structure, which we often call the repertoire hierarchy. We find three general categories of process capabilities within a typical individual's repertoire. There are those that are executed completely within the human integument, which we call explicit human process capabilities. There are those possessed by artifacts for the executing processes without human intervention, which we call explicit artifact process capabilities. And there are what we call the composite process capabilities, which are derived from hierarchies containing both of the other kinds. We assume that it is our H-LAM/T system, human using language, artifacts, methodology in which he is trained, that has the capability and that performs the process in any instance of use of this repertoire. Let us look within the process structure for the LAM/T ingredients to get a better feel for our models. Consider the process of writing an important memo. There is a particular concept associated with this process, that of putting information into a formal package and distributing it to a set of people for a certain kind of consideration. And the type of information package associated with this concept has been given the special name of memorandum. Already, the system language shows the effect of this process, i.e., a concept and its name. The memo writing process may be executed by using a set of process capabilities in intermixed or repetitive form, such as the following: planning, developing subject matter, composing text, producing hard copy, and distributing. There is a definite way in which these sub-processes will be organized that represents part of the system methodology. Each of these sub-processes represents a functional concept that must be a part of the system language if it is to be organized effectively into the human's way of doing things. And the symbolic portrayal of each concept must be such that the human can work with it and remember it. If the memo is simple, a paragraph or so in length, then the first three processes may well be of the explicit human type. That is, it may be planned, developed, and composed within the mind, and the last two of the composite type. If it is a complex memo involving a good deal of careful planning and development, then all of the sub-processes might well be of the composite type. For example, at least including the use of pencil and paper artifacts, and there might be many different applications of some of the process capabilities within the total process, that is, successive drafts, revised plans. The set of sub-process capabilities discussed so far, if called upon in proper occasion and sequence, would indeed enable the execution of the memo writing process. However, the very process of organizing and supervising the utilization of these sub-process capabilities is itself a most important sub-process of the memo writing process. Hence, the sub-process capabilities as listed would not be complete without the addition of a seventh capability, what we call the executive capability. This is the capability stemming from habit, strategy, rules of thumb, prejudice, learned method, intuition, unconscious dictates, or combinations thereof. To call upon the appropriate sub-process capabilities with a particular sequence and timing. An executive process, that is, the exercise of an executive capability, involves such sub-processes as planning, selecting, and supervising, and it is really the executive processes that embody all of the methodology in the H-LAM/T system. To illustrate the capability hierarchy features of our conceptual framework, let us consider an artifact innovation appearing directly within the relatively low-order capability for composing and modifying written text, and see how this can affect a, or, for instance, your hierarchy of capabilities. Suppose you had a new writing machine. Think of it as a high-speed electric typewriter with some special features. You could operate its keyboard to cause it to write text, much as you could use a conventional typewriter. but the printing mechanism is more complicated. Besides printing a visible character at every stroke, it adds special encoding features by means of invisible selective components in the ink and special shaping of the character. As an auxiliary device, there is a gadget that is held like a pencil and, instead of a point, has a special sensing mechanism that you can pass over a line of the special printing from your writing machine, or one like it. The signals which this reading stylus sends through the flexible connecting wire to the writing machine are used to determine which characters are being sensed, and thus to cause the automatic typing of a duplicate string of characters. An information storage mechanism in the writing machine permits you to sweep the reading stylus over the characters much faster than the writer can type. The writer will catch up with you when you stop to think about what word or string of words should be duplicated next, or while you reposition the straight edge guide along which you run the stylus. This writing machine would permit you to use a new process of composing text. For instance, trial drafts could rapidly be composed from rearranged excerpts of old drafts, together with new words or passages which you stop to type in. Your first draft could represent a free outpouring of thoughts in any order, with the inspection of foregoing thoughts continuously stimulating new considerations and ideas to be entered. If the tangle of thoughts represented by the draft became too complex, you would compile a reordered draft quickly. It would be practical for you to accommodate more complexity in the trails of thought you might build in search of the path that suits your needs. You can integrate your new ideas more easily, and thus harness your creativity more continuously, if you can quickly and flexibly change your working record. If it is easier to update any part of your working record to accommodate new developments in thought or circumstances, you will find it easier to incorporate more complex procedures in your way of doing things. This will probably allow you to accommodate the extra burden associated with, for instance, keeping and using special files whose contents are both contributed to and utilized by any current work in a flexible manner, which in turn enables you to devise and use even more complex procedures to better harness your talents in your particular working situation. The important thing to appreciate here is that a direct new innovation in one particular capability can have far-reaching effects throughout the rest of your capability hierarchy. A change can propagate up through the capability hierarchy. Higher order capabilities that can utilize the initially changed capability can now reorganize to take special advantage of this change and of the intermediate higher capability changes. A change can propagate down through the hierarchy as a result of new capabilities at the high level and modification possibilities latent in lower levels. These latent capabilities may previously have been unusable in the hierarchy and become usable because of the new capability at the higher level. The writing machine and its flexible copying capability would occupy you for a long time if you tried to exhaust the reverberating chain of associated possibilities for making useful innovations within your capability hierarchy. This one innovation could trigger a rather extensive redesign of this hierarchy. Your way of accomplishing many of your tasks would change considerably. Indeed, this process characterizes the sort of evolution that our intellect augmentation means have been undergoing since the first human brain appeared. to our objective of deriving orientation about possibilities for actively pursuing an increase in human intellectual effectiveness, it is important to realize that we must be prepared to pursue such new possibility chains throughout the entire capability hierarchy, calling for a system approach. It is also important to realize that we must be oriented to the synthesis of new capabilities from reorganization of other capabilities, both old and new, that exist throughout the hierarchy, calling for a system engineering approach. Section B, the basic perspective. Individuals who operate effectively in our culture have already been considerably augmented. Basic human capabilities for sensing stimuli, performing numerous mental operations, and for communicating with the outside world are put to work in our society within a system, an HLAM/T system, the individual augmented by the language, artifacts, and methodology in which he is trained. Furthermore, we suspect that improving the effectiveness of the individual as he operates in our society should be approached as a system engineering problem. That is, the HLAM/T system should be studied as an interacting whole from a synthesis-oriented approach. This view of the system as an interacting whole is strongly bolstered by considering the repertoire hierarchy of process capabilities that is structured from the basic ingredients within the HLAM/T system. The realization that any potential change in language, artifact, or methodology has importance only relative to its use within a process, and that a new process capability appearing anywhere within that hierarchy can make practical a new consideration of latent change possibilities in many other parts of the hierarchy. Possibilities in either language, artifacts, or methodology brings out the strong interrelationship of these three augmentation means. Increasing the effectiveness of the individual's use of his basic capabilities is a problem in redesigning the changeable parts of a system. The system is actively engaged in the continuous processes, among others, of developing comprehension within the individual and of solving problems. Both processes are subject to human motivation, purpose, and will. To redesign the system's capability for performing these processes means redesigning all or part of the repertoire hierarchy. To redesign a structure, we must learn as much as we can of what is known about the basic materials and components as they are utilized within the structure. Beyond that, we must learn how to view, to measure, to analyze and to evaluate in terms of the functional whole and its purpose. In this particular case, no existing analytic theory is by itself adequate for the purpose of analyzing and evaluating overall system performance. Pursuit of an improved system thus demands the use of experimental methods. It need not be just the very sophisticated or formal process capabilities that are added or modified in this redesign. Essentially, any of the processes utilized by a representative human today, the processes that he thinks of when he looks ahead to his day's work, are composite processes of the sort that involve external composing and manipulating of symbols, text, sketches, diagrams, lists, etc. Many of the external composing and manipulating, modifying, rearranging processes serve such characteristically human activities as playing with forms and relationships to see what develops, cut and try multiple paths development of an idea, or listing items to reflect on and then rearranging and extending them as thoughts develop. Existing or near future technology could certainly provide our professional problem solvers with the artifacts they need to have for duplicating and rearranging text before their eyes, quickly and with a minimum of human effort. Even so apparently minor an advance could yield total changes in an individual's repertoire hierarchy that would represent a great increase in overall effectiveness. Normally, the necessary equipment would enter the market slowly. Changes from the expected would be small. People would change their ways of doing things a little at a time. And only gradually would their accumulated changes create markets for more radical versions of the equipment. Such an evolutionary process has been typical of the way our repertoire hierarchies have grown and formed. But an active research effort aimed at exploring and evaluating possible integrated changes throughout the repertoire hierarchy could greatly accelerate this evolutionary process. The research effort could guide the product development of new artifacts toward taking long-range meaningful steps. Simultaneously, competitively minded individuals who would respond to demonstrated methods for achieving greater personal effectiveness would create a market for the more radical equipment innovations. The guided evolutionary process could be expected to be considerably more rapid than the traditional one. The category of more radical innovations includes the digital computer as a tool for the personal use of an individual. Here there is not only promise of great flexibility in the composing and rearranging of texts and diagrams before the individual's eyes, but also promise of many other process capabilities that can be integrated into the HLAM/T systems repertoire hierarchy.